day. If you would please turn to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. I'd like to welcome you all for being here today. If you're a member of this church, I want to thank you for having me again. And if you're not, I want to thank you for coming out. So, Psalms chapter 37. Today we're going to talk about right living in a wretched world. So the first point I want to make with this is it's us versus the world. And I know that sounds aggressive and to the point, but that's how it is. We as Christians are against the world. We live in the world, not of the world. So there are those who would put you to death for what you're doing today. By coming to this building, by saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth and He died for your sins and was resurrected for your sins, there are people that would put you to death for that. So how does God tell us to handle that? What does He tell us to do? Psalms chapter 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So God tells us to do not fret because of the evildoers, to wait patiently. Basically, He's saying, I will protect you if you do what I tell you to do. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. And actually, I'd like to start in verse 19. So I'm going to read 19 through 21 of Romans 12. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So God takes it a step further, and He says, do not fret. Don't worry. I'll protect you. He takes it another step and He says, if they're in need, take care of them. So, and by doing, you will show them how they are wrong. Galatians 6, verse 10. Again, that's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. He takes it even a step further from telling you to do good to those who do wrong to you. By therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. So simply put, we are challenged every day by the world. Why would we be at odds with somebody who's of the household of faith? We're told to do good, especially to those of the household of faith, and to those that do wrong to us. Which brings me to my next point. So how do we live right in a wretched world? It's godly living. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here I have the chunk verses of 1 through 15. I'll kind of skip around. The first four verses are Peter introducing himself with this epistle. So I'll skip over that and I want to start in verse 5. So 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. Verse 7, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Through Christ, we have been given everything we need to live godly lives. And that's this progression right here. When you first start out as a young person in Christ, whether you're old in age or not, you're considered a babe in Christ. You start with your faith. That faith is that Jesus Christ came and He died for your sins and that He was resurrected. But then you add to that your virtue. And then with your virtue and studying, you gain knowledge. And then in your knowledge, you learn your self-control and so on to where your godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So it's showing there our progression, or what should be our progression, in our faith as we grow. We are partakers of the divine nature. Keep reading with me there in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are partakers of the divine nature because we have been freed from the power of the old and corrupt sinful nature. So what's the next step? Reliance on Scriptures. Read with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Again, I'm going to kind of skip around here, but that's just a chunk amount of the verse here. This is what I had read, and I thank you for reading that for me. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Skip over to verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So everything in this book, we are being told, is not just made up. We didn't just over time make this up and try to string these stories together to make one narrative. Excuse me. But it was men inspired by the Holy Spirit of God that wrote this for us so that we could learn, so that we could try to live godly lives. So the first point is Christian doctrine is not just another point of view. It is not a fable. The Scriptures can be trusted because they are written by prophets and apostles inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Scriptures function as a light in a dark age. They are an absolute in a relativistic world. Too many times today you see people talking about how we could live on Jupiter, or we could live on Mars, or wormholes and dark holes and things like that. And this is all relative. It's all floating. What this point is made for is that the Bible is an absolute. Either you will or you won't. Either you'll be on the right hand or the left hand come judgment day. It's as simple as that. So opposition to false teaching. If you were here the last time that I was here, I spoke on false teaching. And I used some of these verses here. But I want to go back over this again briefly. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive way, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will extort you, with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who will walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. I want to stop there and kind of go over this just a little bit. So first thing, Peter's telling us that there will be false prophets among us. There will be people who try to come in and tell you what you're doing is wrong. You've got to do it this way. But you've got to realize you have the Word. You've got to study. You've got to be diligent in your study to have knowledge so that you'll know when they're wrong. But then in verse 4, he touches on what will happen to those who teach falsely. There's a story of how Satan and his angels were thrown down from heaven after they sinned, and he cast them into chains. Let's see. And cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly, verse 9, out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So if you're a false teacher, realize you're going to be judged one day. False teachers will be judged harshly because there's a special thing given to teachers of the Word. You've got to make sure that you're right in what you say because you are teaching other people. They're depending on you to look at this and say, hey, this is what I feel like it says. This is what it says. And if you're teaching wrong, it's on your head, if you will. So we are not to be swayed by the large number of people who are persuaded by unbiblical ideas. Judgment is guaranteed for all those who oppose the truth of God. We should exercise discernment granted by the Holy Spirit to detect the deceptive teachings and alluring promises of the ungodly. Read with me in verse 12. It's continuing about false teachers. Verse 12, 2 Peter, chapter 2. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. They will receive the wages of unrighteousness, and those who count it pleasure to carouse in their daytime, they are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. Verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. By whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So continuing there about false teachers, Peter tells us that they're like natural brute beasts, like an ox, a cow, made to be caught and destroyed. They speak evil of the things they don't understand. I feel like a lot of times when somebody tells you that you're doing wrong by being here today, it's because they don't understand why you're here today. They don't understand that you have been redeemed by Jesus, who is the only perfect human being on the earth. If they don't understand that, because they can't understand it, they tell you you're wrong. But they're like natural brute beasts to be caught and destroyed. And they will receive the wages of the unrighteous. They are spots and blemishes. They have eyes full of adultery. They speak great swelling words of emptiness. Their words mean absolutely nothing. While they promise liberty to people, they themselves are slaves to corruption. Then he continues and he says, for whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So if you're overcome by good or evil, whichever one you do more of, that's who you're a slave to, good or evil. I want to talk about watchfulness. So, as a little short recap, we've talked about godly living, reliance on the scriptures, and opposition to false teachers. Now I want to talk with you about watchfulness. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to start in verse 10. 2 Peter 3. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I want you to pay attention to the wordage that he uses there. He says in verse 12, looking for and hastening. So he's telling us to actually say, I want that day to come. I want that day to come. Why is he telling us to say, hey, you need to be asking for the day of judgment to come? It's because every day that we have to live here in this earth is a day that we have to struggle with a wretched world. Where we have to live pure while everybody else lives wrong. So that's why he's saying, don't become lax in your thinking. Be looking for that day. Be hastening for that day. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. False teachers are blemishes, they are spots. We are to be without spot and blameless. Verse 15, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. By looking for the return of Christ, we can avoid the sinful traps of the world. We need to take care that we do not become lax in our thinking. And God has set a day which will mark the end of this world. Go back to chapter 2. I want to go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. So we talked about godly living and reliance on the Scriptures and opposition to false teachers and watchfulness. So we've laid out here how to live godly or to live right in a wretched world. But let me leave you with a reminder. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to this true proverb. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Now, we live in the South, so a lot of us understand that reference. As soon as you get a pig clean for any kind of contest, in the fair, anything like that, what's the first thing you do when you release them back into the pen? And that's roll around and get dirty again. So yes, we can live godly. We can rely on the Scriptures. We can oppose false teachers. And we can be watchful. But if we fall away, it's worse than it would have been better for us to not have known the way than to turn from it. God's promise of judgment should prompt us to encourage others to repent and believe in Christ. Because we know what's right, it's our job to teach others that don't have the understanding. We are to teach them. Once we have knowledge, we share that knowledge with them. I brought with me today one little short story. I got to run right down here and gather it real quick. I'll be right back. Okay, so we've discussed how to live godly, or how to live right in an unrighteous world, a wretched world. There's godly living, reliance on the Scriptures, opposition to false teachers, and being watchful. But I wanted to share this with you today. In the state of Alabama, it's really, are you an Alabama fan or are you an Auburn fan? That beside the point, I want to speak on Bear Bryant today. So when Bear Bryant had passed away, his family was going through his personal effects. They look in his wallet, and there's this card in his wallet. And on this card, it says this. This is the beginning of a new day. God has given me this day to use as I will. I can waste it, or I can use it for good. But what I do today is important because I'm exchanging a day of my life for it. So stop right there and think about it. What you have done today and what you will continue to do, you're exchanging one day of your life on this earth for what you do today. Will it be for good or will it be for evil? When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever, leaving in its place that which I have traded. I want it to be gain, not loss, good, not evil, success, not failure. I know I shall not regret the price I have paid for it, Because the future is just a whole string of nows. We are living in the now. But we've got to understand that we have to be watchful for what is to come. And if we become lax in our thinking, if we start to not watch, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and it will surprise you. You won't be ready. I want to thank all of you for listening to me so attentively. And I just wanted to share that as I ended my lesson. So I ask you, are you using the days that you have for good or for evil? Are you living in a wretched world, or are you part of the wretched world? This time has been given to us today that if anyone should want to repent of any sins that they've committed, they can come forward and do it. If you have never made the great confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that He came and He died for your sins, we're also giving you a chance now to do that if you so wish. The invitation is extended to you. If it applies, please come forward as we stand and as we